Dear loved ones, and especially you, dear Ryan and Karis, weddings happen so often that people sometimes don't stop to think what a miracle marriage really is. Our Lord Jesus, twice in the Gospels, says that they are no longer two but one. What God has joined together, let man not separate. It's really God's grace and mercy that brings you together today. In fact, we would have to say it's certainly not chance that brings you to the Lord's altar, where today the Lord makes you two, one. It's a miracle that we celebrate in our family, obviously, Carrie, because your mother and I look back on that awful Sunday afternoon in 1989 when we thought we lost you. And in the middle of that pregnancy, you've heard that story, and it was the same Sunday afternoon that Joel was bit by the neighbor's dog. One of those days you'd rather never relive. But the Lord was merciful. Joel recovered. The Lord made you grow strong inside your mother, and it wasn't too long after that we were holding our fourth child in our arms. And although we have to forgive Joel that he really wanted a brother, it was a joy to have you as a child in our family and see you grow up in the Lord and become the beautiful woman that God has made you today. It was because of that time in our lives that that name that Mom had heard from a college friend, a granddaughter of Professor Hobbick at the seminary when I was there, Karis Hobbick. We liked that name and remembered that Karis is the Greek word for grace in the New Testament. When the Holy Spirit inspired all the times in the New Testament, you see the word grace. Charis is the word behind it. And so it really seemed fitting from a time like that in our life to have the gift of a child to name you Charis. And it fits with the text that you chose for the sermon today, which I think is so fitting. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace, Charis, by grace you are saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Marriage is a miracle. And there must be a million stories out there where boy meets girl. And I'm somewhat biased, but I have yet to hear one like yours. As the story has been told to me, our shy daughter was over a friend's house. And tying your shoes, I don't know, I'll make it up as I go along if I have to. So that when this guy that somebody said Ryan Karis was coming over, and you were tying your shoes, and so the first thing you saw when he walked in was his shoes. Not bad. And then his jeans. Not bad. And then his face. All I'll say about that is that I've been with you two in restaurants, and I know that those pretty young women that are looking over our direction are not looking at me. And so our rather shy young daughter went up to introduce herself to this young man and said, "Hi, I'm Karis. We should get married. Then my name would be Karis Karis." And kids say the craziest things. And I do believe that sometimes our Heavenly Father just laughs. He just laughs. Augustine, one of the church fathers, made the comment that things that happen in the physical world reflect what is in the spiritual world. I would like to take your new initials for the new family, Ryan and Karis Karis, and let your life be a beautiful physical reflection of God's grace in the spiritual world. And let your life be an unforgettable sermon for all the people that you know. We'll take your initials, R-C-K, and use the K for Karis. Your Karis, for kindness. And in the middle, think about the C for Karis as commitment. But we'll begin with Ryan's R for romance. Many people don't realize what a romantic God we have. The God of the Bible is very romantic. He made them male and female. This is why we can't let go of the creation story in the Bible, because it tells us who we are and what we are in God's love for us. He made them male and female in that garden paradise where they could live with God and love each other. And when he created the man out of the dust, he then took part of the man's side and made the woman and brought her to the man as the first wedding gift. Not a man alive can say he's God's gift to women. But every woman can know she's God's gift to man. That's the biblical story. And it's why we cherish women as our sisters in Christ and wives as God gives us these precious blessings for marriage that's supposed to go back and reflect that marriage as it was in paradise. She was absolutely happy to have Adam as her head because everything he thought and did was for her. She respected him and he loved her with a self-sacrificing love like you see in Christ. They both loved and respected God. They walked with God and talked with God and loved each other. That was paradise. But it was Adam's rebellion that brought the sin and sorrow and sadness into the world, and so that relationship with each other was tarnished and harmed by sin, and it destroyed our relationship with God. It is what we see, unfortunately, when husbands blame their wives and wives blame their husbands and all the things that can happen when they forget what they said at the Lord's altar and the promises they made, and most of all, the Lord's love for our souls. What happened there, as you know, was God made a promise to Adam and Eve. This is what I love about the God of the Bible. He made a promise that only he fully understood at the time. And then he kept repeating it over all those centuries until it finally cost him the life of his own dear son to make us his bride. God wanted us as his bride, and all that love and intimacy of the Spirit that you just dream about in a relationship like God has given you. And that's the way the Lord wants us to love him. That is the romance that God has brought about with us at the cross when Christ died and washed away all the sin, all the rebellion, all the anger. It's gone. In God's eyes, it will never be gone. And that's true for everybody here and everybody in the whole wide world. The sin is gone. It's forgiven in the grace of God. Grace really means undeserved love. So you see grace on grace when the Lord brings you to the altar, Ryan, and gives you this wonderful romance with a daughter of the Most High God that he wants you to cherish and care for that romance, protect it, because it is your primary relationship now under God, and by his grace, a tremendous gift and blessing. With the romance for Ryan, we think of C for charis and commitment. The commitment that God made to us. Another thing people don't know about God except from the Bible is that he's known us by name from all eternity. Everyone here who cares anything about what I'm saying or knows God as their Lord and Savior has been loved by God by name from all eternity. And when God puts his name on us in baptism, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he's making us his own. He's committing himself to us to take care of us. If we wander away, he brings us back. He watches over us. He makes sure the two people meet so that they can stand at his altar and join their lives and have that commitment that he has made for us. When we ruined our relationship with God, the commitment that he made wouldn't stop. He kept coming until he died and rose again and became our Lord and Savior. Carrie, I've seen that commitment in you quite recently. And I think people sometimes that know the Lord don't even realize what they're doing to show commitment in their lives. There's a little bunny named Bella that came to you rather scrawny and poorly fed. And you made a commitment without really even thinking about it. But you were very determined. That little bunny would be well fed and cared for and brushed. And it looks totally different now. And it's not so skittish. It's loved. It has a committed relationship that can feel and can taste. And it's the way the Lord wants our commitment for each other to show and grow in ways that we can taste and feel and enjoy under God and with his blessing. A beautiful commitment that the Lord wants for husband and wife. That especially shows when the other is not around. I think when we really show how we love each other under God and the commitment to each other is how we talk about each other when the other's not there. And you can tell when there's a real love and a loyalty and a commitment like God has, when husbands and wives overlook each other's weaknesses and you minimize the weaknesses and maximize the strengths like you do when you're in love. But to do that all your life, that's the beautiful commitment that God has toward us, washing away our sin, giving us the righteousness of Christ, clothing us in his white robes at our baptism. He's made a commitment, and he's brought you here to make the same kind of commitment. He's made that commitment to you in romance, in the commitment, and in the new family, charis, that the Lord wants to show kindness. My hope and prayer is that this last verse of the text will always be a sermon for people's lives, that they won't even feel like they're listening to a sermon. They'll feel like this is a love for them that just really cares and really shows, because the Lord said this is why he did this for us, why he made us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's not done with us. He's always working on us through our lives. So heartaches and troubles that come your way are God's gift and blessing, like tempering steel, to put a sharp edge on it and to keep you sharp in your marriage too. So you are God's workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. So that the people around you, all your lives together, can know the gentleness in a very caring way, the gentleness of God's people that are more willing to yield than to push their own opinion, more willing to listen than they are to talk, you know, slow to speak, quick to listen the way it's supposed to be, and two ears and one mouth, all those blessings that God gives us, but that you learn to work together and make that commitment. The commitment of kindness is what is in the wedding card that my better half, my wife of 30 years, your mother, Karis. She found this beautiful card that I think summarizes the kindness that the Lord wants to show to others through your union as man and wife. These are the words from a card by Rebecca Barlow Jordan. May the Lord make your union more than just a marriage of two hearts in love. May it shine as a lighthouse for spiritual rest, a loving retreat, and a welcome place for understanding. May others searching for refuge find its beacon strong and steady, with golden rays like heaven's arms of comfort and security. May you always stand committed, two servants as one after God's own heart. May your marriage be a refuge of love for each other and a light that leads others to Jesus. Ryan, romance, charis, commitment, kindness in the new family, charis, and the love of Jesus.